So this morning, this is the first Sunday of 2021. We're hoping that 2021 goes much better than 2020, right? I wish it really did work like it was a reset button and everything just started fresh. But church, I mean, the truth is we hope it gets better, but it may continue. I guess it may actually get worse. But as Christians, we want to know how to deal with these things. This morning, believe it or not, we're going to be in the book of Ephesians. We're in the fifth chapter. We're going to be looking at verses 18 through 21 this morning. And the title of the sermon today is Be Filled with the Spirit. And if you would you stand with me and we will read the word of the Lord. And then we will pray and we will get into the scriptures. Beginning at verse 18, Paul continues to write and he says, And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Father, this morning I just want to come before you and thank you, God, for this day. I pray, Lord, even as the title says, that, Lord, just to be filled with your Spirit, that the power of your Holy Spirit would be upon your message this morning. As your word goes forth, I pray, God, that it would penetrate our hearts and our minds, stir us to either salvation or to awake and to be up and about your business. And I pray that in all these things, God, that you would get glory for yourself, that Christ would be magnified today. We pray that your will would be done, nothing more and nothing less. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning, we are going to be looking at a passage that we've titled, To Be Filled with the Spirit. Now, that term right there, to be filled with the Spirit, is probably one of the most debated and controversial subjects or phrases amongst Christians today. One old preacher said this. He said, the Spirit is the first power that we practically experience, but it's the last power that we come to understand. And I think that's true. I think that we experience that at the beginning of our salvation, but to try to comprehend the depth of that, sometimes it's the last thing that we really fully understand. So this morning, as we look at this, what it is to be filled with the Spirit, that is something that should be a desire of every Christian, to be filled with the Spirit. And so in order to understand what that is, I think it would be good and beneficial this morning to look at what it is not. Things that are out there but what the filling of the Spirit really is not. So the first thing I want to bring to your attention is this. There's a teaching that goes like this. There's what they call a second blessing. And in this second blessing, there will be things such as this. Tongues. To be slain in the Spirit. To be drunk in the Spirit. Some of them, even in modern times and things like this, I've heard one guy say he is pickling in the Spirit. I don't know how that could be beneficial whatsoever. Even the word vegging. Think about pickling and vegging. Those are things that are dead. I mean, you know, laughing in the Spirit, barking in the Spirit, running in the Spirit, jumping in the Spirit. I remember one guy telling of a time when he was a child. He was raised in a church that was very charismatic in their activities, and said the pastor was a rather large Indian lady named Kelly. And when the things would really get lively and they felt like they were filled with the Spirit, like these things right here, well, people would do things like try to run the backs of the benches. But he said in the middle of the church house, there was a propane stove. And one day, a little short man, a little squatty short man, took a run and jumped over that thing. Well, the pastor, Kelly, who was a rather large lady, well, she couldn't be outdone by that. That almost became the standard of how spiritual you were. And so she took a run at this thing, and the guy telling the story, he was a kid, and he screamed out. He says, "Oh no, Kelly's going to try to jump the stove," and he ran for the side door. Said when he stopped running, he was in the middle of the street. It stopped her from trying to jump. Just all he could picture is this place blowing up, you know, her crashing into it. As it turned out, everybody was mad at him for killing the move of the Spirit that day. Let me just say this. That is not what it is to be filled with the Spirit. Nor is to be the baptism of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, the Scripture says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." To be baptized into that body is to be baptized into the body of Christ. Meaning this, that the Spirit immersed each one, every believer, into the body of Christ. That's not to be filled with the Spirit. Nor is it the indwelling of the Spirit. John 14 and verse 16 says this, "I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth." As believers, every Christian is indwelt with the Holy Spirit. But that is not the filling of the Spirit. The next one is, fourth is, to be sealed with the Spirit. What it tells us in Ephesians 1:13. He says, "You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise," meaning this, that God has set His seal on you. It is the guarantee that you have been blood bought and purchased, and He is coming back for you. Now, when you look at the baptism, the indwelling, and the sealing of the Holy Spirit, it's something that every believer has experienced, but no believer is commanded to do these things. This is something that is outside of our ability. It's something that we cannot do. Well, not only is it not those things, but the filling of the Spirit is also, it's not in creeds, confessions, councils, or a seminary degree. While all of those things are helpful and they can be good, they cannot replace the filling of the Spirit. John Stott says this. He says, "What we need is not more learning, not more eloquence, not more persuasion, not more organization, but more power from the Holy Spirit." Warren Wiersbe says it like this. He said, "It is futile for us to try to serve God without the power of the Holy Spirit. Talent, training, and experience cannot take the place of the power of the Holy Spirit." Church, if I'm convinced of one thing today, I'm convinced that somewhere along the lines in all of our learning and all of our training and everything that we're doing, somewhere we have put much more confidence in what we're doing, and we have almost forgotten what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, with all of that said, the question remains, so what is the filling of the Holy Spirit? Well, here's the definition. The Greek word for filled or fill is plerao. Who was that? Is that one of my kids? The first thing is this. If you're my kid and you're talking, be quiet, okay? There's four things here that it is. The first one is simply this. I'd like to give you a really cool definition, but what it means is to be completely full. There's no room for anything else, okay? You're filled to the brim, okay? So that's just what that is. But the second one is this. It's the idea to be carried along as in the wind would be filling the sail of a boat and carrying it along its course. So you can kind of picture this. To be filled with the Spirit, you picture this boat on the sea, and the sails are up, and the wind is there, and it's carrying us along, you know. Think about this. If there's no wind, what does that boat do? It just sits there, it drifts, right? Well, when we're not, as Christians, if we're not being filled, being carried along like that with the Spirit, we just start drifting, don't we? I mean, if we're just drifting, we have no, there's no goal in sight. There's no direction that we're going, but what we're prone to do is to drift into the rocks and the reefs and things like that for destruction. So there needs to be this idea that the sails are up and they're filled with the wind carrying us in a certain way, which is the Spirit of God. The third definition is this. It is to be permeated. In the sense of, like, if you were to walk into a room and someone was to open a bottle of perfume, it would fill the entire room. Or if someone was to take salt and season some meat, it would permeate the entire thing that it was. It would not only give it flavor, but it would be for a preservative. How would this look in the Christian's life? We want our life to be permeated with the filling of the Spirit in this, in every thought, in every word, and every action that we partake of. Now, I want you to start with that. To be filled with it is that our every thought is filled with this. Where do your words come from? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? I mean, what are you thinking on? And let me ask you this. For your thoughts, where do you get your thoughts from? Well, your thoughts are coming from things on the outside of you. It's whether your thoughts are on, you know, how the country's going right now and the election and things like that. And it may produce in some of you, and this would be bizarre, but it may produce happiness, you know, the way the election went. For some of you, most of you, there's probably a lot of anger and things like that. So when your thoughts are going that way, then your words are going that way, then your actions will follow. So to be permeated. And the last one here is to be completely controlled by the Spirit. To be completely under the control of the Spirit. Now I want to ask you a question. Does that even seem possible? To be completely controlled by the Spirit of God. As far as I know, there's only been one man that has ever completely been under the control of the Holy Spirit. And that was Jesus Christ. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at three things. We're going to first look at the contrast of what it is to be filled with the Spirit. Look at that. One page is already done. Is that amazing? We'll see how this continues. Y'all got to be impressed with that. So here's the thing. What we want to do first is we want to look at the contrast. When this verse starts off, he starts off with, "Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation." So here's what I want you to think about. To be drunk with wine. Now, I'll be honest, when I'm reading through this, and let's just back up. He says, you know, "See that you walk circumspectly, but not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And then he goes, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation." It's just like you're going along, and there's all this, and then there's just this thing that just, it's like, what? Well, here we're going to get a contrast, because the whole thing that we're looking at this morning is be filled with the Spirit. And so we want to contrast this. And first of all, what you need to understand is that drunkenness was part of the pagan worship that the Ephesian church dealt with. In their former life, when they worshiped these false gods, to be drunk in these things, to drink strong drink, to get intoxicated, was part of the worship, and it went on to other things, even things as orgies and such. It was the way that they influenced their mind in the way they worship. I want you to think about this. Not only was that part of it, but drunkenness. Now remember what the definition of to be filled with the Spirit is, right? Well, drunkenness will set you on a path to destruction. You know, they're talking about being filled in that wind is carrying that boat, that vessel on the sea to a certain destination. Well, drunkenness will do the same thing. It will set you on a course that is going to destruction. Why do people get drunk? I mean, contrary to all the beliefs, it really isn't that fun. I mean, just to be drunk in itself. What drunkenness does is it allows us to justify And to have the courage to do the things that normally, under just normal circumstances, we would never do. I mean, young guys and girls go out and guys want to buy beer to get drunk and they want their girl to get drunk and everything that is involved is everything of the flesh. If we can get intoxicated, we can kind of give ourselves an excuse and a justification and, you know, we kind of throw caution to the wind and all this and it ends in destruction. I can assure you this, there's never been any good thing that came out of drunkenness. You go back and you look at Lot when the Lord delivered him and his children out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, they thought they were the only ones left and they thought there's no seed to bring up. So they get their father drunk, the two daughters do, and get him drunk. And two nights in a row and they both wind up pregnant from their father. So drunkenness will set you on a path of destruction. But drunkenness also, it permeates our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Does it not? I mean, you start getting drunk, you start having thoughts. There's happy drunks, there's sad drunks. There's those ones in between. There's angry guys. And when you start thinking those things, then you start talking those things, and then you start doing those things. And drunkenness is also, it's being out of control. It is what we call dissipation. And dissipation is to give over to immorality, to give over to improper conduct. It is reckless living and riotous type lifestyle. That's what it does. So you see, he brings this in that we could get a contrast. He says, I don't want you to be like this. I don't want you to be out of control. Isn't it funny how the folks that would hold to being filled with the Spirit would be all these things of, you know, being slain in the Spirit, drunk in the Spirit, pickling, all these things. I don't know if you've ever witnessed that stuff, whether live or on a video, but it's anything but being in control. I've heard people say that to be slain in the Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit, knocks you on your back and holds you there. Sometimes tickles you, makes you laugh, or sometimes, you know, 30 minutes an hour. I had people tell me this. And they'll say, you're not in control of anything that's going on. Well, that is not what the filling of the Spirit is. So we look first at the contrast, but now we're going to look at what we would call the command. The command is this, be filled with the Spirit. That is the command. That is not the command for just the preacher. That is the command for every believer in the body of Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. Oh, I want to ask you something. Would you rather your preacher, your pastor, come to this pulpit filled with the Spirit or to be drunk? I mean, to be filled with wine, to be like that in excess and to be drunk. How would you rather your pastor approach the pulpit? How do you want to go through life? Do you want to go through life drunk or do you want to go through life filled with the Spirit? I want you to think about something for a moment. I mean, when you think about this, and this is one of those scriptures I have looked at in the past and I have wrestled with it. And here's my question. Is this even possible? This is what we call an imperative. It is a command of the Lord to be filled with the Spirit. Now, that is to be completely full. Not only that, but this also carries the idea that, listen, one time somebody asked D.L. Moody, they said, Mr. Moody, are you filled with the Spirit? And he said, yes, but I leak. You see, the filling of the Spirit is not a one-time thing. See, when people talk about the idea of what they call a second blessing, it's like you've been made a Christian, then there's a thing they call the second blessing, and once you hit the second blessing, you are just filled with the Spirit, you're in autopilot, and from that point on, you're what they call, I'm perfect. I don't even sin anymore. Well, there's no truth to that whatsoever according to Scripture. But here's the question, is it even possible to continually be filled with the Spirit? I mean, let's just be honest. Let's think about that a moment. I mean, think about your life, everything that it consists of. Even sitting here in a church service, we look around and we have little children, and little children take our mind off things, right? Sometimes they take our mind off things and we get aggravated. We get angry with them, right? We're sitting right in a church service and we're struggling with being filled with the Spirit. So here's the question. Is it possible to even do this? Well, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been filled with, and we'll just fill in the blank with some things. Have you ever seen somebody filled with anger? Think about it. You see it. And when you're filled with anger, what are you? It's got your thoughts. It's got your words. It's got your actions. When you see somebody that is filled with anger, it's got control over them, doesn't it? Have you ever tried to deal with somebody that was angry? Trying to speak sense to them? They're not listening, are they? They are under the control of this anger. And they're letting it rule their life. They're doing everything according to this anger. Now, I'm sure nobody in here has ever had that problem. One time when my oldest daughter here was, she was in, I think, the fourth grade or so, she was started basketball in Montana. Now, basketball in Montana is a lot different here. The first year, you don't even play anybody. You're so spread out and everything. But she was on, you know, in the class, and she had missed a Monday. Now, she is a perfectionist a little bit, and because she missed one day, she thought she could never catch up all those skills that she missed on Monday. So on Tuesday afternoon, when she should have been at basketball practice, her and her little sister come in. And I said, "Why aren't you at practice?" And she just starts crying. And my younger daughter says, "Tell them what they did." I said, "What'd they do?" Well, Courtney wouldn't say that. Kaylee, she says, "They kicked her off the team." Now, my buddy went down with me to the school telling me, "Now, just remain calm." I said, I'm good. But on the inside, I could feel this anger. I could feel my walk, my steps were quicker than normal. But I was maintaining. But I was having all kinds of thoughts in my mind. When I got in the gym, the two coaches were standing there, and they're ignoring me. Finally, I said, "I need to talk to y'all." And they said, "Well, we don't have time for you right now." Now that, okay, I'm already a little bit. Now that just really got things deeper, right? Well, in some certain ways, I told them, "You are going to have time. You just kicked my kid off the team," which they looked really confused and puzzled. So there was a lot of this confusion and this anger. Now they're angry because I came in like this, and guess what? They didn't kick her off the team. Kaylee said, "I don't know why I said it." Courtney's like, "Why didn't you just tell me?" She was just crying. Yeah, to be controlled by anger, to be ever been controlled by fear. Look at what we're dealing with right now, just with this coronavirus. How many of us are going to let this fear of this control our lives? Church, that's not who Christians are. It just got our thoughts. And listen, if anything that the coronavirus has done that may be a positive thing, it's got people thinking about dying. Not necessarily a bad thing, because if you're going to die and you don't know Jesus Christ, you better be thinking about what you're going to do. And I can tell you this, a mask is not your highest priority. Because I promise you, you are going to die. Whether it's from the coronavirus or something else, you will die. And you better get right with Jesus Christ. What about lust? Ever been consumed, filled with lust? And it's not just on pornography and things. It could be lust for all kinds of things. It controls your thoughts. It controls your words. It's what you talk on. Greed, drunkenness, these types of things. So here's the question. Can we be filled with the Spirit? Yeah, because we see that we've been filled and controlled by other things of our flesh. So it's possible. These things here we're talking about, they have carried us along on a course that didn't work out well. They have permeated our thoughts, our words, our actions, and we were controlled by this anger or whatever. So here's the thing. How are we to be filled by the Spirit? Now that's really the question it comes down to. How in the world are we going to be filled? If God has commanded and says, be filled with the Spirit, then how? Now here's what I don't have for you today, church. There's not a verse, there's not a passage in the Bible that says, here's how you are filled with the Spirit. This is where we almost just feel helpless a little bit. I mean, I've got this command given to me. I look at my life and I can tell that I'm really coming short in this. But let me show you something. In Romans 12, starting with verse 1 and 2 is what I'm going to read. Listen to what Paul writes. He says, I beseech you. He's saying, I am pleading with you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I want to just put you in mind. Just think about this for a moment. What if you started every day and you come before the Lord and you are presenting yourself like this as a living sacrifice, saying, my life is to be used for your service today. You are first on everything that I do. Now, I know we got to go to work, we got school, we got different things, but in all of that, God, you are supreme in there. When I go to work, I'm going to live my life to your glory. I'm going to honor Christ in what I do today. That you present yourself holy, meaning I'm separating myself from the things of this world, from sin, from sinful things, and I'm presenting myself to God for your use, for your purpose. That it would be acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Can I ask you a question? Do you feel like when you always come to God in prayer, do you feel like what you're offering up in your prayer is acceptable? Have you ever been down at night and you're kneeling down beside your bed and you're praying and you're like, Lord, thank you for this food. You're not eating. I mean, at that point you're like, where's my mind? Have you ever been praying and you pray about something and then you somebody has done you wrong and next thing you know, you're not praying, you're just fuming about what you like to do to them. And this happened in the middle of prayer. I don't think that's acceptable. So we got to reset, and Lord, help me here in my prayer. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That every day you start the day, you continue the day in this manner right here. That's a good place to start when we want to talk about what it is to be filled with the Spirit. So many guys I know, we come to church on Sunday, and then we go to our places of work on Monday, and we act nothing like we do in this building. I've been guilty of that, and I've also had the blessing. There's been times I've worked on places where the boss would say, hey, I'm going to put you with Ron today, and I'm just going to warn you, he's going to preach to you. And they would show up, they would usually be some young guy or something, and I'd say, I'd introduce ourselves and all that, and I said, I'm assuming they probably warned you like everybody else, right? They said, yeah. I said, what'd they tell you? They said, well, you're a preacher, and you're probably going to preach to me. I said, you okay with that? Yeah. I said, well, all right, let's get started. And the whole ride there, that's what we did. But I've also had the other times where it was easy. You give yourself a day off. Man, I was really spiritual on Sunday, but I just need a break today. Can I ask you a question, Christian? Why would you want a break from being filled with the Spirit of God? We should never have that kind of mind. But we do, don't we? Well, now listen to this. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, there's three little words here. Pray without ceasing. So we want to be presenting ourselves to God, and then we want to be praying without ceasing. Now that doesn't mean that you're just, you know, like I can't talk to you, honey, because I'm just praying all the time. I never stop praying. That's not what he's saying. But I will tell you this, that you start your day with prayer and you end your day with prayer. And in between, you have these times where you're just, you see something coming your way. Lord, help me to deal with this right. You feel that anger coming on, you replace it with thankfulness. You feel that lust coming on, replace it with love. You feel that greed coming on, replace it with giving. Having a giving heart. Be in prayer all the time. Think about that. What is Satan going to do? Listen, if your mind is in prayer all the time and you're presenting yourself to God as a living sacrifice, think about what's coming in. But if your mind is being filled with your Facebook thread or your Instagram or YouTube or whatever, if that's what we're filling our minds with, what do you think we're going to be thinking about? What do you think is going to be coming out of our mouths? And our actions are going to follow that. The next one is this. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. I'll read this. Second Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says this. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh," meaning we're housed in this flesh, "we don't war according to the flesh." This is not the spiritual fight. We don't fight like that. I hear guys all the time, they want to fight with their fists. They don't like something. They want to shoot somebody. There may be a time for that, but in the normal Christian life, that's not. He says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." What are strongholds? Those are those things that have captivated your mind. Whether it's the anger, the fear, all of these different things. These are these strongholds. And he says, these are the things for the casting down of that, the pulling down. In verse 5, he says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Bringing every thought. And that's a little overwhelming, isn't it? To bring in every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let me remind you of one thing. He's not only your Savior, He is your King. He is your Lord. When soldiers are on the battlefield, their commanders want their every thought on the task at hand. You can't have guys, their thoughts being running wild about their wife or their girlfriend or whatever at home, and there's a war going on and they're trying to advance into the enemy's grounds to take them. And their mind is somewhere completely else. No, you want every thought on the task at hand. At the men's breakfast yesterday, Brother Paul Priest taught on James, but he called it war. You can't, listen, you've got to be focused here as a Christian. So every thought, bringing it to the captivity of the obedience of Christ. And then we're going to look at Colossians 3:16. Now remember, Colossians is it's like the twin epistle to Ephesians. Ephesians is all about the church, the bride of Christ. Colossians is about the head of the church. It's about Christ. That's where the emphasis is. Now, think about this. Where we're reading right now, he's saying be filled with the Spirit, right? Well, over here in the parallel passage here in chapter 3, verse 16, listen to what this says. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So we're over here to be filled with the Spirit, and then he says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. But over there he says, be filled with the Spirit. Here he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." So not only do we want to be presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, not only do we want to be continually in prayer, not only do we want to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ, But we want the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly in all wisdom. To be filled with the Spirit and the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly go hand in hand. Listen to me, church. You cannot have one without the other. I hear a lot of Christians say, "Oh, I'm very spiritual. I just love being filled with the Spirit." And they couldn't fill a thimble with their knowledge of what the Word of God says. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, you need to know what the Word of God is telling you. To know what the Word of God is telling you and to be obedient will go hand in hand with being filled with the Spirit of God. Listen to what A.W. Tozer says. When the Holy Spirit is in full control of our lives, He will expect our obedience to the written Word of God. Does that phrase just frighten you? It shouldn't. Listen to me. When the Holy Spirit is in full control of our lives, He will expect our obedience to the written Word of God. You can't have one without the other. He goes on and he says, "But it is a part of the human problem that we would like to be full of the Spirit, yet go on and do as we please." Rodney is going to be teaching a class on financial freedom, getting out of debt. And every time I hear somebody say, "That's a good teaching," he'll turn around and smile and go, "If you do it, you have to do it." Here's the thing. We want to go to that class. I sat through all 13 sessions or whatever it was. It was dry as a bone. Nothing's happened. I'm still in debt. I still ain't got no money. Have you applied it? No. But I went to the class. Last night I told my wife, I said, "I don't know what's going on. A year and a half ago I was 230 pounds. I made up my mind. I got down to 185. That's when y'all met me. Let's just say I'm not 185 today. It's climbing." And I looked at her and I said, "I'm still doing my intermittent fasting." And this, and she goes, "You are not doing what you used to." See, I'm not doing exactly the way I did it before, but I want the same result. I want the result to be there, but I'm not going to actually do it. We want to be in shape, don't we? We will go sign up a year membership at the gym. And go two times and go, "That didn't do me any good at all. I'm still out of shape." Yeah, don't think for a second if you spend money that's going to make you do it. There's been too many people that have proved that false. In a much more serious way, every Christian in here would say, "I want to be filled with the Spirit." But I got a question for you. Are you going to submit to God? Are you going? Listen, you want to talk about New Year's resolution? This is the first Sunday of 2021. Take what God is telling us. This is the Word of God. This is a command to be filled with the Spirit of God. That you would be presenting yourself every day. And listen, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take cutting some things out. Just like trying to lose weight. You've got to cut out sugar. You've got to cut out this. You've got to cut out that. You've got to do things right. Or it's not going to happen, is it? I remember my dad, he would just pig out. I mean, somebody told him at International Fitness, and you older folks will know, remember that place. That was the old original workout place. They had people in there telling you how to get in shape and lose weight. And they tell you, sir, if you eat certain foods, it will actually help you lose weight. And the more you eat of those foods, well, all he heard was the more food you eat, the more you lose weight. He's out buying ding-dongs and Twinkies and he's like, "Get his Diet Coke." I said, and then we went back and he gained like 12 pounds. And I said, "You know, you really misunderstood what they were saying. For the Christian, what is your life full of? What are you most passionate about?" I hear Christians say this all the time. We went and bought the whole season of The Office or whatever, you know, and we watched it all night. And then they roll into church on Sunday morning and their mind is just full of that. What are you filling your mind with? Are you bringing that every thought, your every thought to the obedience of Christ? Well, I want to look at also the last thing is the characteristics of what it is to be filled with the Spirit. If you look over there in chapter 5 of Ephesians, he says this, when somebody is filled with the Spirit, here's what we're going to see. He says in verse 19, he says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So the first thing we see is this. There's going to be a song in our heart. There's going to be singing coming off our lips. I mean, you know, I heard one guy preach on this and he says, don't misunderstand this. Just because you're filled with the Spirit and you ain't a good singer and you're filled now, that don't mean you're going to be a good singer after that. But the difference will be you'll have a joy in your heart. You'll be filled with the joy of the Lord. I mean, it's like this, when you feeling that in tune with God and you're striving to do these things and you're feeling the filling of the Spirit in your life and the songs come on and man, you're just rejoicing and tears are coming down your face. It's like there's no greater place on earth to be. There'll be a song in our heart. Not only that, but there will be thanksgiving. Look what he says in the next one. He says, giving thanks always for all things. In one place he says, giving thanks in all things. Here he says, giving thanks for all things. I want to ask you a question. Do we give God thanks for all things? Most of the time it sounds like this. Why is this always happening to me? Why can't anything good happen to me? Right? And oftentimes we fail to give God thanks when it does go good. But he says, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only the things that we would call the blessings, but even the trials that come our way. He says, thank God for those things. That doesn't make sense to the natural man. That can only make sense to the Spirit-filled Christian. He says it like this over in Galatians. You want to talk about things that are evidences that you're filled with the Spirit? He says in 5:22 of Galatians, he says, the fruit of the Spirit. Now here's what the fruit would be is love, it's joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, it's goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. See, there's that self-control. It's not out of control, it's self-control. And against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In order to be filled with the Spirit, you're going to have to crucify the old man. You're going to have to put off that old man and put on the new man. You're going to have to put him to death. And then he says this, he says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This chapter in chapter 4, it starts off with a desire to endeavor to have unity in the body of Christ. In the spirit, in the bond of peace. Church, you need to know this. You cannot have true unity without being filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what this church would look like, what every church would look like, if every member was continually being filled with the Spirit? We want to do things in this church. We want to do missions. Daniel, he's talking to me about all these things. He's just like, I just don't even know where to start, you know. But I want you to know something. Listen to what Corrie ten Boom says about doing the work of the Lord. She says, trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. But when you are filled with the Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. It's almost like this. He says, they that trust in the Lord, he says, they shall mount up on wings as eagles. I mean, it's just like something is, I'm not talking about some weird mystical thing, but it's just like everything that might have been a grievous, hard thing to you before, when you're filled with the Spirit, it's a joy. Even in the hard things. I mean, think about Paul and Silas when they were in prison. They had been beaten. They had been put in the inner prison, slapped in the stocks, stretched tight. And at midnight, they sang praises to God and they prayed to Him. And the prisoners heard it. What in the world is Satan going to do with Christians who are continually being filled with the Spirit of God? When persecutions and trials and things like that come, that instead of complaining, they praise God. This is what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit. So church, today I come to you and I come to you with the impossible task. What is it to be filled with the Spirit of God? And why is this all? Why are we capable of doing this? Because we serve the true King. We serve the risen Savior. He is our Lord. He has given us His Holy Spirit. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, when you look at this, every time that when you see people filled with the Holy Spirit, and you read this about 7 or 8 times in the book of Acts, but this is another thing that you see when this happens. And I'm just going to read this one place. But in chapter 4, of the book of Acts, after they had been threatened, the first time in the book of Acts, the apostles, the disciples, it was Peter and John primarily, they had been threatened. They had been told, you don't teach in this man's name anymore. We don't want you talking about Jesus. And they threatened him. They said, you know, basically they're saying, look, if this happens again, there's going to be some serious repercussions. And in 4:23 it says, and being let go, they went to their own companions, the church, and they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Now, if you don't think there's much to that, I want you to think about something. With this coronavirus the way it is and a lot of states trying to shut churches down, how would you react if they came here, the authorities came and said, you better not meet here next Sunday or else? Would you be back? Something to think about, isn't it? So when it threatened, it was serious. But listen, it says, when they told them that, and it says, and when they heard that, this is the church, they raised their voice to God with one accord, and they said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth, they took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, they were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. When you see this, almost every time, When people are filled with the Holy Spirit, they're preaching, they're praising, they're praying continually. When somebody's Spirit-filled, that's what you see all through the book of Acts. Church, we're going to have communion now. And if my deacons would come on forward, I know some of them don't hear well, so somebody let Rick know. All the deacons, come forward, and Gina's going to come and softly play on the piano. I'm just teasing. But we're gonna have communion. Here's what I want you to know. If you are a visitor here today and you've been baptized, you're a baptized believer and you're in good standing at your church, we welcome you to take communion with us. I'm gonna read this while they're getting ready. Well, now actually, guys, why don't y'all go ahead and pass it out? Just start doing that and I'll read this. Listen to what it says. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered you, the same that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink this.'"